I want to share with you a story. There's a woman, and I want you to think about what would cause an innocent woman to welcome time behind bars, to willingly go to jail. According to Maria Brunner, all it takes is her lazy husband and her demanding children. Brunner's husband is unemployed, and so she supports three young children by cleaning other people's homes. And even without a job, her husband somehow manages to run up a huge number of unpaid parking tickets. The bill totals $5,000 in just parking tickets. And so and the great part about this is a keeper of a husband. Mr. Brunner decided that he would keep these tickets secret from his wife. And the great part was that not only did he keep it secret, but she is the actual owner of the vehicle, which means that she's responsible for these unpaid parking tickets. So if Maria can't pay the fine, then unless her husband can come up with the money, she's going to be spending about 3 months behind bars in the town of Poing, Germany. And so she's a resident of Germany. And this was her reaction. This is what the police literally quoted her saying. "I've had enough of scraping a living for my family. As long as I get food and a hot shower every day, I don't mind being sent to jail. I can finally get some rest and relaxation." And police reported that when they went to arrest her, she actually seemed really happy to see us and repeatedly thanked us for arresting her. While most people taken into custody hide their heads in shame, Maria smiled and waved repeatedly as she was driven off to jail. That's great. I can't, you know, I'm just picturing this woman like in the back of a police car. "Hey, everybody, woohoo!" You know, like, yes, finally some rest and relaxation for me. Now, perhaps you haven't had a meltdown like Maria yet. But the truth is, for many of us, we are under the same kind of pressures and stress in life, whether it's through our work situations, whether it's through relational things, it doesn't matter, but we all have various pressures and stresses in life. And internally, you may feel like this famous painting in the background, The Scream. I don't know how many of you are familiar with that, so added a little, you know, modern icon so that you understand that feeling of The Scream. But internally, a lot of us feel like that. And the reason why is because you have a disease, you and I. You are an idiot, just like Maria. Now, I'm not trying to say, that's not slang for calling you an idiot, okay? Because like, man, this pastor's a jerk. But when I say that maybe you are wrestling with having the disease of being an idiot, I'm talking about the "I got it together" syndrome. You know what I'm talking about? It's that disease where I feel like, well, when I'm facing the pressures of work or the stresses of life, expectations, that I have to make myself and other people believe that I have it all together, that I have my act together, that I am the complete package. Sure, I'm human once in a while, I make a mistake, but for the most part, I have it all together. It's a syndrome, it's a disease, and it's deadly to the human spirit. The symptoms of it are that we tend to either work harder when things are getting hard for us, to try to meet all of life's expectations and all the demands that people place on us until we crack, so we work harder, or we become overwhelmed. And we start to do things like procrastinate when dealing with our work or with our responsibilities. We start feeling burnt out. We start experiencing boredom with life or feeling the blues. We run away and give up. So we either work harder or give up, feeling overwhelmed. And here's what the outcome looks like. This is the result of when you try to pretend like I got it together all the time. You'll either do one of three things. You'll explode. And what I mean by that is sometimes people just freak out from the pressure. You ever do that? Like, and it doesn't have to be like obvious ways. Sometimes it's just you're a little bit more irritable. You lash out at people with angry words. You put irrational demands or unfair expectation on other people. You might explode by an emotional outburst or emotional breakdown of some sort. And so a lot of times when we have all these demands and pressures on us, we just explode. Or we implode. For some of us who are not as outwardly expressive, we suppress that stress and that pain in secret. We grit our teeth and just say, I've just got to try harder. And eventually, as you implode on yourself, you start experiencing symptoms of depression. Maybe it's physical problems. You'll start to get stomach problems and stomach aches for no reason. You start to develop ulcers. You get headaches, maybe stress-related asthma. You're burnt out and you're tired on life. So you explode, you implode. Or thirdly, sometimes we self-destruct by being self-medicating when we have to deal with the stress and pressures of life. What I mean by that is we turn to shortcuts to alleviate the pressure and the stress. We start doing things to escape. So maybe you spend like hours, if I can just play a few hours of video games or watch a few hours of TV or just surf the internet for a while, instead of having healthy, meaningful outlets, we try to medicate ourselves. We know it's unhealthy, but I deserve a little bit of a break. For some of us, we hurt ourselves physically or emotionally. We beat ourselves down, and it's to distract us from the pain or from the pressures of life. So if I feel this pain that I've inflicted on myself in this way, then I don't have to deal with the pain and the stress in other areas. For some of us, we distract ourselves or self-medicate by turning to pornography, substance abuse, or other secret addictions. And whether or not you explode, implode, or self-medicate, we've all bought into a lie when we act this way, that I have it all together, that in some way, I got it together and I'm the complete package and I don't need to rely on others. And as we've been talking over this past couple months about being a liquid Christian, what I mean by that is being someone who brings the life-giving water of Christ out into the marketplaces of the world. We've been talking about developing meaningful work and an impact on the world around us in the marketplace through our calling, through our character, through our competence. But there's times when it's easy to get that desire to be a liquid Christian, to be a blessing to other people, to work hard and to work excellently as a blessing, and it gets twisted into this psychological, self-destructive lifestyle where we're trying so hard to maintain an image. I got it together. And it's easy to become guilt-driven or performance-driven to the point where work isn't an act of worship anymore. You remember we talked about that last week for those of you who were here, that work doesn't become an act of worship and life's pressures are destroying us from the inside out. If that is you this morning, I want to tell you there's hope for you and there's help from you, from our Lord and Savior. But before we do, let's bow in a word of prayer. God, our Father, we ask that you would help us to hear you speak to us this morning in this fragmented message. Just help us to hear your voice. We know that you didn't call us here this morning to be, I guess, convicted and feel guilty about things in our lives, but instead, God, would you help us to humble ourselves, to hear your voice, to know that you've called every single person who's here this morning to purposely be here, to hear how you want to heal us and work through us, to give us meaningful, not only work, but meaningful rest, a meaningful life through Christ. So God, would you speak this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a Bible, you want to turn in it to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus is the second book of the Bible. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. And this is a familiar passage for many of you. It comes from the Ten Commandments. And let me give you a little bit of background. You remember that God delivered the people of Israel out of slavery, and he does this revealing his amazing power. He's doing these miraculous things with them and giving them, providing for them in miraculous ways along the way. And finally, where we are now in Exodus 20, after God has set his people free from slavery and captivity, and they've experienced all these miraculous things, and they're come to this mountain, and God sits them down and says, okay, let's finally sit you guys down to hear what is important to me as God. Because this is the first time they've heard directly, they're going to hear directly from God. And so he's basically telling them, if you're going to come and follow me and be my people, this is what I want you to know about me. And for those of you who maybe were here a couple years ago as we went through Genesis, you remember that from Genesis chapter 1 through 12, God is teaching us that he designed people and relationships to have a mission. That God is the creator, we are the creation, and that he gives his beloved children talents and ability to do purposeful, meaningful work as worship to honor him and as a ministry to bless others. And so here he is, he's laying out all these stipulations about being his people and following him. And this also includes this command in chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Let's stop right there. You'll notice in verse 9 that he talks about working hard for 6 days out of the week. So he's not saying like, you know, that we're not supposed to work, but he's saying that we do need to work hard and work excellently. And you remember last week we talked about from Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, work as if working for the Lord, as if he's your boss, right? And so, but we see there's a change. In verse 10, he talks about we must also Sabbath. We must also Sabbath. And so I want to define that word for you, because a lot of times you've read through it in the Bible many times, but we actually don't know what that word means. And so what does it mean to Sabbath to the Lord? It's a Hebrew word, the word Sabbath, and it means simply to cease doing something, to cease your strivings, to rest, to take a break. And so that's what that simply means. And so every time when you're reading through this passage, you're actually remember the day of rest by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a time to cease, to rest to the Lord. So that's all that Sabbath means. But I want you to get that picture of what it looks like to cease striving, to take a break from your work, to rest and get recharged. You see, God creates a very natural rhythm to life where we manage our responsibilities through Him and for Him, but there's also a cyclical need for us to take some time off. And what I want you to pick up this morning is that the solution to all of your life's pressures, to all of the hurts and things that you keep bottled up inside, to all of the stress that you feel, the solution and the answer to work and to life's pressures isn't for you to try harder. Did you hear that? Because a lot of times that's how most of us live. I got it all together. And so I'm going to try, when things get too hard for me, I got to try harder. Sometimes, maybe for us who are parents, we accidentally tell that to our kids. Well, you just got to try harder. Or maybe you were told that by your parents when you were young. And I'm telling you, that's not the answer to your pressures, to your problems, to your work stress, to your life stress. It's not, I should try harder, but God calls us to rest better, to work out of the overflow of our rest. And I know that most of us know this, but I don't think we really believe that. And you know how I know that? Because a brother in Christ was sharing with me, or he was just sharing in public, kind of describing the lifestyle sometimes that we live. And he was talking about, you know what? Many of us today, we don't just burn the candle at one end or burn the candle at both ends. We have the candle, we've thrown it into the fire, and it's just the whole thing is on fire and melting all at the same time. And the truth is, many of us live that way. Because you're busy, if you're a young person, maybe you are, you know, going to school full-time, hopefully going to school full-time, and you're not only doing your homework, you're doing extracurricular activities, you're in orchestra, you're doing some sports like baseball, lacrosse, swimming, doesn't matter, and in your free time, you're trying to squeeze in time for church, and you're serving on the worship team, and you're also serving like on student leisure, and blah, 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 and you know, your schedule is filtered down to every 15 minutes, I have to switch activities, and I know exactly what I'm doing. And some of us who are adults, We carry that same lifestyle into our adulthood and live like that too. And no wonder we're so burnt out and overwhelmed and we feel crushed by work pressure, by life pressure, by stress. We think we know this, but God puts it in perspective for us. He says, you know what? You think, that's not literally what he's saying, I'm reading in between the lines a little bit here, but you think that you can handle and all this work and pressures and you think you can handle it better than me? And the reason why I say that is because in verse 11, God reminds us how in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 to 4, He Sabbathed. God Himself Sabbathed. He took a rest. He Himself ceased and rested after His work, after this huge act of creation. And this is one of my favorite thoughts because I was thinking about it. Is it because God is tired? He worked too hard during those 6 days of creation? Maybe He needs a little nappy? No, because Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 talks about God's character, and the way that God is that He does not grow tired or weary. God isn't somebody who's like, whoo, that was a huge act of creation. I need to take a break, guys. Whew, that's a tough one for me. I'm God, but it's tough. But He's setting an example back then for Adam and Eve, but also for all of humanity, that a holy precedent to follow as His creation, that who are made in the image of His Creator to follow. That God didn't make us to be machines. He designed us to work hard and to work honorably for Him, to have purpose. But but also to need rest and to be refreshed. He doesn't allow us to achieve that total perfection, to be that total package of I got it all together on our own strength. God designed you to need rest. He made us finite and limited on purpose so that we'd remember to lean into Him for our strength, for our help, for our comfort, and for our rest. Okay, very basic principle. But let's talk about what that looks like. He takes our rest and renewal so seriously that in verse 8, he calls the Sabbath holy. He calls our rest holy. And in fact, in verse 10, he makes it into a law that people have to rest and take a break. Just like we've talked about over the last couple of weeks in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, that work is an act of worship. In the same way, rest is also an act of worship. Rest is something that God calls holy, set apart for God, and that it is an act of worship to God. And so one of the things I want to convince you of this morning, and hopefully that God is trying to convince you of, is that you got to stop trying to be such an idiot. You don't have to be the person that says, I got it all together, driven by pressure and stress until you're overwhelmed, that you actually need to practice rest as an act of worship to God. It's important. God considers it holy. He considers it an act of your relationship with Him in some way. That we need to take a breath with God because it honors Him. Just like excelling in your work, excelling in your responsibilities is an act of worship to God, also resting well is an act of worship. And without it, you're going to self-destruct. You're going to experience all those symptoms of an idiot like I described at the beginning. Let me put it to you this way. In 2005, there's a team of people in the Netherlands who worked meticulously to break the world record for dominoes falling. You know, when you stack like dominoes one after the other and make this huge long trains and patterns and cool stuff like that. So they're trying to break the world record for dominoes falling. And to accomplish this, they needed to set up more than 4 million dominoes. And so this painstaking labor came within inches of destruction. When after a long day of setting up dominoes, one member carelessly left a window open. What happened was a sparrow, small bird about probably this big, flew in and started knocking down like dominoes and knocked down approximately 25,000 of the dominoes. But the reason that all of them didn't fall, this is what's interesting. You see, what they did was they would place every 750 dominoes, they would place a built-in gap between the dominoes while they're setting them up. There's a gap between all. So 750, and then intermittently there'd be gaps between all these dominoes throughout the succession of them. And these intentional gaps were safety devices that would allow enough space for dominoes in one section to fall without knocking over the ones that are behind it or forward in that progression. And this way, any accidental knock would be contained and not totally devastate their entire efforts. I want you to think about for yourself. In the course of your week, there are times when your work, when your life gets so tough and you feel like you get knocked down, don't you? Do you have regularly placed intermittent gaps between your dominoes of your work days, your stress, your pressures, so that it doesn't destroy everything that you've built up and knock you completely down? We need those gaps. God intentionally wants us to build in those gaps and asks us and commands us to do so. Do you really think, for those of you who are especially driven, that it's God's will for you to work yourself so hard that you run yourself into the ground? That's not honorable towards Christ. It's not worship. And so, if I were to challenge you this morning, I want to ask you, are you deeply enjoying life and rest? Do you feel refreshed with God on a regular weekly basis? Do you give Him glory by enjoying the blessings you have with a thankful heart? Because one of the best ways to really rest and enjoy worship is to give thanks, because it turns our perspective and kind of clears our heart and mind. Or do you feel guilty about resting? Like you have to get everything on your to-do list done before I'm allowed to take a break. As if you have to earn what God has given you freely and in fact designed you to experience. Deep, meaningful rest. Practice rest as an act of worship. And so let me give you three practical suggestions in that area. And some of you have heard these before. The first one is if you want to practice rest as an act of worship, slow down. Slow down. And the reason why is because, you know, when you slow yourself down, like you're not rushing and rushing, you're resisting that anxiety of the rushing and rushing and rushing by practicing slowness in your life. It's like, you know what? Today, instead of trying to get into, like, play the game of freeway lane lotto, where you're trying to, like, switch, like, okay, this lane is a little bit faster. No, scoot over to this lane. Okay, no, this one's moving a little bit faster now. Instead of that, I want to challenge you, get into the slow lane, just for one afternoon. Get in the slow lane on purpose and slow down. Don't rush when, let's say, you're doing the dishes. Just take your time and just enjoy yourself and just do it and slow down in life. Because here's the thing. When you slow down physically, you're actually helping yourself to prevent physical burnout from being exhausted and tired all the time. So slowing down helps to prevent physical burnout of an ongoing, fast-paced lifestyle where you're kind of like all the time. So slow down. Practice slowing down. When you rush all the time, what you're doing is you're fooling yourself into feeling like I am in control of my time and my life. But what you're really doing is you're teaching yourself how to be anxious and how to be worried. And I know that slowing down is tough. It requires you to plan ahead a little bit, doesn't it? It means like, okay, maybe I need to get up a little bit earlier so that I can take my time getting to church or take my time getting to work. But it teaches us to unwind and to unstress instead of rushing around and experiencing that kind of anxiety of busyness all the time. Secondly, I want to challenge you to slim down. Now, I'm not talking about like do your P90X workout or maybe eat a little bit less and don't have that milkshake. But I'm talking about simplifying your life. Instead of always having an overpacked schedule. Like I said, I described, some of us are living in 15-minute increments, or even our sleep is kind of mapped out down to 15-minute increments. And we need to actually strip out some of the unnecessary stuff in our lives and strip down and simplify our schedules and our lifestyles. Because what we do is when we slim down, it actually helps us to prevent mental burnout. It helps us from overcrowding ourselves. We learn to set aside our time and our resources for rest, for vacation, for enjoying good moments. And so much of our stress comes from packing in as much as possible, even during our rest and Sabbath times. How many of you take a day off and it's kind of like, okay, put my schoolwork and my job work aside, and now I have to get as much fun as possible and just squeeze the life out of my day off so that I can do as much and enjoy it as much as possible. And actually, you come out of your vacation or your Sabbath day even more exhausted than you started, than when you came into that day. Not only do we need to slow down and slim down, but lastly, I want to encourage you to sit down. And what I mean by that is, I don't know about you, but I'm one of those guys that, like, when I talk on the phone, I like to stand. And so when I'm talking to people, I'm kind of pacing and kind of like, you know, and it's always like my brain is racing forward thinking about, like, what I need to say next or what I want to talk about and blah, blah, blah. But a lot of times we miss out on things when we're standing all the time. We need to sit down. And what I mean by that is just to be able to enjoy that present moment. You know what I mean? Instead of being someone who's trapped in the past and always thinking about yesterday and kind of walking around thinking about like, man, I screwed up so bad yesterday, or I have all this past baggage and blah, 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 and kind of reviewing all the time yesterday, or trapped in thinking only about the future where I'm only driven towards tomorrow and what's going to happen next. Stop and sit down for a moment and just enjoy this present moment. You see, it's easy for us to let the good stuff in life pass us by. And I want to challenge you to enjoy great moments of fun, of beauty, of rest, of life. Because when you enjoy those things with God and others today, it prevents emotional burnout. Just like slowing down prevents physical burnout, slimming down prevents mental burnout, and sitting down and enjoying the present moment prevents us from emotionally burning out. We need to recharge by enjoying things and allowing God to fill us up that way. Because I'm telling you, some of you are cracking at the seams right now. Even though your face right now sitting here, you have that face of, I got it all together. But I know for a fact, if you're not cracking right now, you're going to hit that point at some point if you don't learn to experience the kind of rest God entails for us. And I'm not just talking about physical and mental or emotional rest, but what does it mean to fully rest and be renewed through Sabbath with God? You heard me mention in verse 8 that he talks about rest and Sabbath as being holy. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 23, it talks about Sabbath again, being holy to the Lord. And then later on in the passage we're looking at, in chapter 20, verse 11, this is a Sabbath to the Lord. holy to the Lord, a Sabbath to the Lord. And so a Sabbath isn't only a resting from work, but it's also a sacrifice, an offering, and a piece of worship that we set apart, because you remember the word holy means to be set apart for God and that it belongs to God. So in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 3, it talks about how when you Sabbath, that you come to this sacred assembly. And he's talking about corporate worship, like, you know, coming to church, basically. But it's time set apart to honor God, to worship God on your Sabbath. Because rest and worship, I want you to hear this, are related functions. And so what I mean by that is, not only do we need to practice rest as an act of worship, but if you want to get really rested, you want to feel really filled up and recharged and be able to deal with life's pressures and stress, then practice worship as an act of rest as well. You see, the Sabbath is connected to God's people worshiping together, and it's a symbol and a reminder every week of where God's people renew their vows to follow and obey God, to be intimate with Him in this lasting relationship with God, what we call a covenant, all right? So God's people made this covenant with God. And when I think about Sabbath, I think about, well, why do we need this weekly relational reminder to kind of set aside time to worship God? Because I want you to hear this. How well you work, how well you deal with life's pressures, emotional pressures, stress pressures, those kinds of things, how well you're going to do that without burning out depends completely on how well you Sabbath. You are designed to be renewed by reconnecting with God in relationship. You're designed to be renewed by reconnecting with God in relationship. That's where you receive the deepest renewal, when we connect with God to experience joy and intimacy and strength. You were made, God made you this way. In Exodus chapter 31, verse 17, I'm going to read from the New American Standard Translation because the NIV does kind of butchers the translation. So in Exodus 31, verse 17, it says, God says, "This is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh he ceased from labor and rested. He Sabbathed, and he was refreshed." In your NIV translation, it says he ceased from work and then he rested. But those are actually, that's the same word. That's Sabbath. But actually in the Hebrew translation, the actual Hebrew text, it talks about he Sabbathed and he nefashed. You don't need to know that word. But he rested, but nefash means he took and was able to take a breath. That's what that word literally means. He took this deep breath. It was like this deep, refreshing breath. You know, like at the end of the day, when you've worked hard or you've had to deal with a lot of problems and you finally get to go home and kind of sit down and go, ah, yeah. That's how I feel at the end of a hard work day when you take a break, right? God says that he experienced that. After 6 days of working hard, he rested, he ceased from his work, and then he took a nice deep breath of enjoyment. And in Exodus 31:17, what we see is that as we observe the Sabbath, it's a sign of God's bond with his people, right? That this is the way we obey him, by spending time honoring him and worshiping him. But God's basically saying in that passage, when I, God, rested, I felt, refreshed. And so I want you to observe this Sabbath by worshiping me, by coming to me as a people and gathering together and worshiping me. And when you do, you'll experience that kind of refreshing deep breath that you get to take through worship. Practice worship as an act of rest. Some of you are familiar with Psalm 23, verses 1 to 4. I want to read for you. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." And then it skips later on, it says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." I want you to hear that. Put in all those pieces. Some of you have memorized this passage, but it's kind of like we just memorize verse by verse by verse. But I want you to hear that whole package. Let's say that you are feeling so stressed out, so much pressure, so much hard work or heartache, that it feels like you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. God says, "When you come to me and worship, I will lead you by still waters. I will restore your soul." Rest, no matter how difficult the circumstances may feel like. And like the psalmist, as we worship God, he will help us to
to walk through these valleys of shadows of death and to find still waters. He'll lead us to still waters and restore our souls. You are designed to only work well when you rest well. And you're made for your deepest renewing when you reconnect in relationship with God through worship. So I want to challenge you, practice worship as an act of rest. Make it a priority. Do you make it a priority to engage God in a weekly worship with his people? Because that's what he commands. And I want to extend that even further. I don't think it's simply once a week, but do you worship in your personal daily life? Because that is one of the ways that God wants to fill us up. When we reconnect with him, then his strength and his power can flow from him into you and recharge you, and you get that sense of deep renewal by being connected with Christ. I want to wrap things up with a confession. A few weeks ago, some of you know that I attend Merge, which is our family adult ministry, which I love that group. And I have the privilege of being part of a men's sharing group. And in my men's sharing group, I came to a terrible realization. And like my wife and I have been talking about it, and we realized that week that we're so busy, especially me. We're so busy that we only actually sat down to eat dinner maybe one time a week during the week, if we're lucky. Maybe two or three times that whole month. And it was startling for me to hear that from my wife because I didn't realize how busy I get and how much I love to work, how driven I am in trying to maintain that I got it all together kind of picture. If I just work harder and longer, then I can do all the things I'm supposed to do or that I want to do so that people will think I got it all together. And then I also confessed to my brothers in my Merge small group. And this may sound to you like, for those of you who don't know God that well, it doesn't sound like that big a deal, but it's sin. And what I confessed to my brothers was, you know what? I don't Sabbath sometimes. There are weekends where I only take maybe one or two Saturdays off a whole month. And in fact, most times I work 7 days a week. And it's dishonorable towards God. And the funny thing is, the more I worked, the lower the quality of my messages got. And it was hard for me because it was a sin. And I looked at it, you know, and I confessed it to my brothers, but I actually didn't do anything about it. And then Friday morning, I was spending time with God. And he was just hitting me between the eyes with things that I need to confess to him. And this was one of those areas. Because I was thinking to myself, you know, I'm one of those guys that if I just work harder and work longer, I think that things are getting better, but it's not. The quality of my work is getting worse. But, and also I myself am starting to crack under the pressure. You know, I start to get a weird tick in my eyes and, you know, like I start saying crazy things and people are like, what is wrong with Josh lately? And it really convicted me as I was spending time with the Lord, because what it says as I was not Sabbathing is that, you know what, Josh? I really felt God almost speaking to me in audible voice. You don't trust me. You don't honor me. You don't trust that I will take, if you will sacrifice 1/7 of your week, one day off from your work, that I can take 6/7 of your work week and multiply it even more fruitful than what you could do by yourself with 100%. It's a faith issue. It's kind of like you've heard me share before, like when you give an offering, we wonder, why does God make us give offering? Is it because, you know, God is poor and he wants, or is it because pastors are greedy? But it's that picture of if I sacrifice 1/10 of my income, then I'm learning to trust and experience how God will richly bless me even greater through 90% of my income by trusting him than if I had 100% to depend on by myself. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 10, God even tells his people, I'm going to challenge you, test me on this, test me on it, see if I won't throw open the floodgates of blessing from heaven, if you will just bring your tithes to me. In other words, give your offering to me and trust me that I will bless you with 90%, a billion, bajillion times more than you could do by yourself with 100% of your money. Test me on this and see. God challenges people. And similarly, in our Sabbath, God challenges us to sacrifice 1/7 of our time each week as an act of worship, to trust him, to experience how richly he'll bless 6/7 of our time to be even more productive and fulfilling. And in both cases, it's a matter of making a sacrifice out of loving and trusting God. That's what we call faith. Do I love him? Do I trust him? Do I know that he's good? And so for myself, I was thinking about it and just letting God speak to me. Josh, you need to change something because you are sinning against me. You do not honor me and you do not trust me in this. And I was thinking to myself, what kind of example am I setting for the congregation if I myself am not willing to obey God and trust God? Is that how I want to model things for the church? And so I spent a long time in repentance that morning. I didn't start working until after 10 o'clock because it was like 3 hours of just really intense time with God. And then, once God cleared the slate and helped me see that I need to rest and be renewed, then God started speaking. And you know what? What usually takes me about 25 to 30 hours a week to, you know, take me by Thursday afternoon, I'm wrapping things up with my message. The message just came in one, like probably one shot, like 4 hours that God spoke. Because God will make you more productive and more fulfilling, able to handle the stress, the pressures of life when you rest and worship in Him. I'm telling you, you can test Him on it. This is one of those things you can empirically test. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, Jesus puts it this way. You think that I'm asking you to carry a heavier burden, that God wants you to have a heavier burden? No. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Many of us come to God thinking that He's putting a heavier and heavier burden on us. I need to work hard and work excellently. That's what we've been talking about these last couple of weeks, as worship to God. But it's not to put more pressure on you, not to make you feel like I have to put up this face, I got it all together. But when you follow Christ, when you connect with Christ intimately and deeply in rest, in worship, that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 to 31, talks about how He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. And even you, young person, even youth, grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. God wants you to experience still waters. Some of you are being crushed by the pressures of life, by expectations, by work, by stress, and you're still trying to handle it by yourself. You're taking shortcuts. You're exploding. You're imploding. You're self-medicating. And it's not fixing the problem. It's not fixing the issue. You're going to crack if you haven't cracked already. But God says, if you want to experience real rest, real renewal of strength, I will lead you to still waters if you come to me, if regardless of how rough the currents of your life get. And so I want to challenge you this morning. If you need to experience God's rest and His renewal of strength, if you're tired of pretending that I got it all together, then perhaps it's time for us to turn to God, to bring our burdens to Christ, and as we give thanks and lay down our burdens, to allow Him to restore our souls. Will you bow with me in a word of prayer?